live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It's about that time. You are locked into WKAR's current sports. Oh, what a night it was. Right? Round one. NFL draft out in Nashville, Tennessee. I stuck around for most of it. Watched most of it. And what you want to hear about, what you want to talk about, and I know you want to get this off your chest because I feel like the majority of Detroit Lions fans aren't happy about what happened with that eighth pick. But there are a few that are like, oh, yeah, cool. No, not bad. Tight end. That was an area of need. Myself, for those that follow me on social media, you already know how I feel about that eighth pick. I hated it. Absolutely hated it. And I'm going to tell you why. I just don't get it. I think it's the true definition of insanity, right? You know, that old definition that's always brought up in different quotes and memes online. Insanity. Doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. I was stunned. I didn't think that the Lions were going to go with a tight end with that eighth pick. And I'll put in perspective just how bad of a move this is. We're also going to take a broader look at the NFL draft and what happened last night. There was some drama here and there. Pretty entertaining first round, I must say. And the first round that also included two Michigan Wolverines being chosen. You know, Connor Mathis, engineer this Friday edition of WKAR's current sports, April 26th, 2016. First off, happy Friday to you, Connor. But you know what? It's interesting because I saw Rashawn Gary. You know, it's a big moment for him. Rashawn Gary, he was drafted to the Green Bay Packers last night. And what a moment, right? He's on the phone and he's just weeping. Rashawn, it's safe to say Rashawn Gary is a crier, isn't he? Because remember what happened? Do you remember watching the Amazon Prime special centered on Michigan football? They did like an HBO Hard Knocks edition of Michigan football two seasons ago. And the famed game, right? The Trouble with the Snap game.
Wasn't the monsoon game in Ann Arbor?
It was the monsoon game, the rain game, exactly, where Michigan State pulled out that victory, and the camera got a shot of Rashawn Gary on the sideline, like absolutely boo-hooing in tears. Safe to say Rashawn is a crier. That's the second time I've now seen him cry. I get the second one, though. I get yesterday's. I didn't get the whole Michigan just in total devastation losing that game. But, hey, he's an emotional guy, all right? But we saw two Wolverines drafted in the first round.
You're talking about Devin Bush's. What the heck was he wearing?
I'm going to get to that. That's
looked like a Klondike bar.
He looked like MC Hammer, dude. He looked like Bobby Brown, a Bobby Brown wannabe or something. I'm like, dude, it's not the 80s. What are you doing, man? I'm going to address that later on in the
hour. Ice cream looking suit.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. I don't know what that was. But we'll have some broad takeaways from round one other than discussing the Lions as well. I'll get to that later on in the hour. Because there were some more moves I did not understand. Some I liked, some I didn't like. I'll get to those as well. And then on the back end of the show, we will invite Johnny Lewis for another edition of Fit Fridays with Blessed Body Training founder Johnny Lewis, as he'll give you another health tip that you can use both in the gym and in the kitchen. And also, you know what I also did last night? After I turned off the NFL draft. You know, I've been hearing about this piece for some days now, and I finally got a chance to sit down and check it out. But HBO's Real Sports has caused quite the stir here in the state of Michigan due to a piece centered on the Detroit District, which was supposed to be like this big, extravagant plan, right? Not only just the building of Little Caesars Arena, but a plan to put in place a ton of apartments and housing and create all of these jobs right in that area. Well, HBO's Real Sports pulled back the curtain on what is really happening downtown Detroit. And I must say, it was a bit troubling to watch. It was a bit sad to watch. I'll pour through those details of that story if you have not checked it out. After current sports is said and done, you got to give it a watch, okay? Before we get to all of that, though, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, folks, we'll start here with the 8th overall pick. The Detroit Lions select the tight end. Again, TJ Hockenson, tight end from Iowa. Hockenson won the John Mackey Tight End of the Year Award during the 2018 campaign. He recorded 717 yards, 6 touchdowns in 2018 as a redshirt sophomore before declaring. This marks the second time the Lions select the tight end with the top 10 pick in 5 years. They drafted Eric Ebron, if you remember, back in 2014 with the 10th overall pick. I got some harsh thoughts on that one. Don't go anywhere. If you want to weigh in, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. Looking forward to hearing your comments. All right. The Kansas City Chiefs have announced that Tyreek Hill has been barred indefinitely from all team activities until more is known about an audio recording that aired on a local television station in which the star wide receiver's fiance accuses him of abusing their 3-year-old son. This is what general manager Brett Veach had to say. Quote, "We were deeply disturbed by what we heard on the recorded conversation. We were deeply concerned. Now, obviously, we have great concern for fiance Crystal Espinal. We are greatly concerned for Tyreek, but our main focus, our main concern is with the young child." Again, that statement coming from GM of the Kansas City Chiefs, Brett Veach. Earlier Thursday evening, KCTV in Kansas City aired part of an 11-minute audio file in which Crystal Espinal, Tyreek Hill's fiance, tells Hill that when asked about an injury to their child's arm, the boy replied, quote, "Daddy did it." Now, Hill denies any role in what happened to the child's arm, adding, quote, "He says daddy does a lot of things." Espinal then says, quote, "A 3-year-old is not going to lie about what happened to his arm." Well, that's disturbing stuff, isn't it? I'll touch on that if we have time later on this hour. The Detroit Tigers fell to the Boston Red Sox 7-3 on Thursday behind 6 solid innings by Red Sox pitcher and former Tiger Rick Porcello. The Red Sox opened the scoring with a 2-run shot in the second inning by Michael Chavis. The Tigers would tack on 3 runs of their own in the third, including a 2-run homer by Nick Castellanos that gave Detroit a 3-2 lead. They wouldn't score another run as the Bo Sox bats came alive to close out the game. When it comes to last night's NBA and NHL playoff action, the San Antonio Spurs beat the Denver Nuggets 120-103 to force a Game 7 despite a 43-point outing by Nuggets center Nikola Jokic. This series now moves back to Denver, where the winner takes on 3-seed Portland in the second round. The Boston Bruins and St. Louis Blues, each with a 3-2 win over the Blue Jackets and Stars, respectively. It took overtime for the Bruins to win who were led by a two-goal performance by Charlie Coyle. Former Spartan Torrey Krug assisted one of the goals for the Bruins. These names, these hockey names. Sergei Bobrovsky, that's my guess on that, did his best for the Blue Jackets as he saved 34 out of 37 shots faced. The Blues were also led by a two-goal performance, this one by Vladimir Tarasenko. The Blues goalie, Jordan Binnington, saved 27 of the 29 shots fired off. Both teams play game two tomorrow. Michigan State women's basketball head coach Susie Merchant and Eli Broad College of Business have partnered to create Empower Her. I love this event. The Empower Her Leadership Retreat is a grassroots initiative designed to reach young girls at the right time to give them the skills they need to take on personal and professional challenges in their lives. They want them to embrace their strengths and differences and take positive steps toward knowing they matter and they have the power to make a difference for themselves and their community. So this is the fourth annual Empower Her Retreat that begins today and will end tomorrow afternoon. Susie Merchant always doing great things in the community. I love this event. Absolutely love that event. All right, the Michigan State men's golf team looks to claim the conference title heading to Pennsylvania to take part in the Big Ten Championships this weekend. The three-day 54-hole event will be played at the Philadelphia Cricket Club in Flower Town, Pennsylvania, Friday, today till Sunday. The Spartans head into the tourney with momentum as they are coming off a second-place finish at last weekend's Robert Kepler Intercollegiate in Columbus, Ohio. All right, the Michigan State softball team will host Northwestern in its final Big Ten home series this weekend. MSU comes into the series at 15-29, 3-13, though, in the Big Ten Conference. Northwestern comes into this series at 38-7, 17-0, a perfect record in Big Ten play. Michigan State baseball also will host Northwestern this weekend in a Big Ten home series. First game tonight at 6:35 p.m. And sad news that came across the sporting world this morning as many found out that Boston Celtics legend John Havlicek has passed away at the age of 79. Havlicek played all of his 16 NBA seasons with the Boston Celtics, winning 8 NBA championships, including one in each of the first 4 seasons of his career. Only 2 players, Celtics teammates Bill Russell, who has 11 rings, and Sam Jones, who has 10 rings, have won more championships in NBA history. Havlicek had been suffering from Parkinson's disease. Bill Russell took to Twitter and explained that Havlicek was, quote, not just a teammate and a great guy, but he was family. The Celtics called Havlicek, quote, the face of many of the franchise's signature moments. A team statement reads, quote, his defining traits as a player were his relentless hustle and wholehearted commitment to team over self. He was extraordinarily thoughtful and generous, both on a personal level and for those in need, as illustrated by his commitment to raising money for the Genesis Foundation for Children for over 3 decades through his fishing tournament. John was kind and considerate, humble and gracious. He was a champion in every sense. And as we join his family, friends, and fans in mourning his loss, we are thankful for all the joy and inspiration he brought to us. Again, the great John Havlicek, dead at 79. Rest in peace, John. That does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep it moving.
The 2019 NFL Draft, The Detroit Lions select TJ Hockenson, tight end, Iowa.
Well, when you're Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia, and you were in New England and watched what Rob Gronkowski could do as an inline tight end, you appreciate a guy like TJ Hockenson. Now, he's not Rob Gronkowski. He's not that big. He's not quite that athletic. But he is a dominant run blocker, and he's more than adequate in the passing game. Gets open, catches everything. He's going to be great in the red zone. They put a lot of resources into the offensive line, and now they get basically another offensive lineman. That's how good this kid is in the run game.
And you guys know how much we love tight ends at Stanford. I watched this film. I couldn't get enough. I love the way this kid plays. Reminded me a lot of Zach Ertz in the passing game, where you can talk. But this guy can run to 4.7. He's fast. He's explosive. But this guy gets open repeatedly on everybody. Deep routes, short routes, underneath routes, and he will stick his face in your face and block you at the line of scrimmage.
Well, and you just love, as you said, the flexibility here, because they need to continue to improve the run game to help Matthew Stafford.
All right, I don't get it. I know most of you don't get it. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. Happy Friday to you all. It is April 26th, 2019. Got some stuff I want to get off my chest. Because as I sat there awaiting the Lions pick, and real quick, if you know, just looking at a broader look at the NFL draft last night, Kyler Murray, he becomes your first overall pick. Expected, right? As he goes to the Arizona Cardinals. Nick Bosa went to the San Francisco 49ers. Quinnen Williams, he went three to from Alabama, of course, to the New York Jets. Four, Cleveland Farrell. Defensive end from Clemson goes to the Oakland Raiders. Five, Devin White. Linebacker from LSU goes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Those are just the first five picks I just wanted to pass along to you all before I dive into what the Lions did at eighth. Again, in a moment, I'm going to look at a broader look at the NFL draft. But at eight, you know, after Daniel Jones went to the Giants and Josh Allen went to the Jaguars, and man, Josh Allen almost fell to eighth, didn't he? Lions could have had Josh Allen. Just one pick away. But the Lions, after Allen was taken, decided to take the tight end from Iowa, TJ Hockenson, as you just heard. I'm just beside myself because the Lions have done this before. They've done this before. You know, this is, you know, Eric Ebron all over. Now, again, I think that when you look at Hockenson, and it's not fair for Hockenson to be judged in the same light of an Eric Ebron. I think Hockenson, and it won't be hard to do this, but he's going to have a better career, if I had to guess, than Eric Ebron had with the D. And riddle me this, right? Did you see what Eric Ebron did last year with the Colts? That's another topic for another day. But, you know, another tight end in the top 10 for the Lions. And you look at the players that they could have had, the players that were taken after that pick. Was tight end a dying need for this team? No. Not at all. Especially when you look at, you know, I looked at the end of year presser for the Lions, and they were, you know, pumping up Jesse James and how they wanted him to be the tight end of the future. And then you do something like this, you know, okay, sure. Maybe a tight end later in later rounds if you want to go that route. But with your first pick, a top 10 pick, you go with a tight end. When Brian Burns was there, that's where I thought they were going to go. Florida State outside linebacker. They don't go with Burns. Ed Oliver was there, the Houston defensive tackle. Jonah Williams was there, the Alabama offensive tackle. Montez Sweat, who we pumped up yesterday on the show. If they didn't go with Burns, I would have loved for them to have pulled the trigger on Montez Sweat. Freakishly athletic, the Mississippi State defensive end, former Spartan, by the way. They passed up on names like that to draft another tight end. And some of you sit back and wonder why this franchise has been one of the laughingstocks in the National Football League for so long. Look, I'm gonna put this in perspective here. All right? Let's just look at the tight end position in the National Football League, all right? Just how valuable is a tight end in today's National Football League? Can we explore that just for a second here? For those that love this move and are all in and, oh, yeah, look at his highlights. He can block. He can do this. He can do that. Let's go this high with a tight end. I just don't get it. So just how valuable is a tight end in the National Football League today? Well, NFL history has provided us with just 5 instances in the past 30 years of a tight end being selected in the top 10 of the NFL draft. 5 in the last 30 years. And the Lions now own 2 of those 5 instances. Heck, the Lions have drafted 3 of them in the first round period. Remember Brandon Pettigrew? He was the 20th overall pick back in 2009. And then again, I hit on Eric Ebron, the 10th overall pick back in 2014. And now TJ Hockenson, 8th pick in 2019. When you look at other names, you know, Kellen Winslow the 2nd, he was a bust. Complete bust. Now, he had injuries that attributed to why he was a bust. And also, he had some character issues that I won't dive into the specifics with, but Kellen Winslow the 2nd, a bust. He was the 2004 6th overall pick that went to, oh, another stellar franchise in the National Football League, the Cleveland Browns. The best case that you can bring up here when you look at those 5 instances, the most successful case, without a doubt, Vernon Davis. He was a key part to the 49ers offense, led them to back-to-back NFC championship games. He made 2 Pro Bowls, named 2nd team All-Pro team. He won a Super Bowl with the Denver Broncos. Remained in the league for 13 years after being drafted. He was solid. But other than that, Ricky Dudley and Kyle Brady are the other 2 names that you bring up. Ricky Dudley was drafted in 1996. Top 10 tight end. Top 10 pick as a tight end, I should say. And Kyle Brady was drafted back in 1995. Both had okay careers. So, again, how valuable is a tight end? Well, first off, you don't see many tight ends drafted in the top 10 of an NFL draft. How about cap hit averages by position? So let's really dive into that value word, right? How much does the NFL value the tight end position? Well, let's look at how much NFL players get paid based on their position. Let's look at the league right now. Quarterbacks, no surprise, are numero uno. The quarterback position, on average, is a position that is paid $26.1 million per year. Next, you know, let's have fun with this, Connor. Number 2, if you had to guess what is the 2nd highest paid position in the National Football League by average, what position would you say? Number 2.
Number 2 with the, I'm assuming number 1 quarterback, yeah?
Yep, $26.1 million is how much quarterbacks get paid. They are the highest paid position player.
I'm going to say either a tackle or a wide receiver.
Wide receiver, you got Ooh. It. At $16 million. Wide receivers are the 2nd highest paid position in the National Football League. 3rd, you want to take a stab at it, Connor? 3rd? Third might trip you up a little bit, but
is it is it the tackle or a pass rusher?
Pass rusher. Ooh. Yeah, edge rusher. You got it. At $15.7 million. They are the 3rd highest paid position player in the league. 4, offensive tackle at $15.5 million. 5, the cornerback, $14.2 million. 6, defensive tackle at $13.8 million. 7, the safety at $12 million. 8th, You see how I haven't brought in.
I'm surprised tackle. I'm surprised tackle isn't. I thought tackle used to be a lot higher, but I guess they must have fallen in recent years.
It has fallen in recent years. Yeah. Next, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six is safety. 7 is the guard / center position at $11.8 million. 8, the inside linebacker at $10.1 million. And then, you see all those positions I just named? Quarterback, wide receiver, edge rusher, offensive tackle, corner, defensive tackle, safety, guard / center, inside linebacker. And then you get to the tight end, valued at $8.3 million average every single year in the league. We're talking about position players here. These are the top 10 cap hit averages by position, and tight end is second from last. You want to know who is last, Connor? Which is pretty surprising. What is last? The position I didn't name.
Punter.
No. Oh no, it's a big one. I haven't named this. You know, cornerback, wide receiver, edge rusher, offensive tackle.
Is tight end really the lowest?
Second from last.
Oh my God.
What do you think
God.
Is the last?
Kickers.
Running back.
Are you kidding me?
Running back. We're talking about position players. God. Impact position players. Running back at $7.9 million. That's pretty shocking in itself, right? But are you getting the picture here, folks? One of the lowest value positions in the NFL today. The tight end position, I view it as really a luxury, not a need. If you want to win in today's National Football League, the NFL teams aren't breaking the bank for tight ends. Because, again, you don't need a tight end to get W's in the National Football League today. Even diving further here, Pro Football Focus does a metric called approximate value. It's an attempt to put a single number on the seasonal value of a player at any position from any year. And this is what Pro Football Focus found, again, according to this approximate value statistic. The approximate value average of top 10 players at each position in 2018, just looking at last year, this is how they rank approximate value. Quarterbacks get a 16 rating. They're at the top of the food chain, obviously. Offensive tackle at 13.7. Wide receiver third at 13.5, running back at 4 at 13, edge rusher at 12.5, defensive tackle at 12.1, guard / center at 11.4, linebacker at 11, corner, safety, and then guess who's last? The tight end position. Dead last when it comes to approximate value, which again puts a number on the seasonal value of a player at any position from any year. You can win without a tight end in today's National Football League. It is not a need. Which is why this move to draft another tight end, a second tight end in the top 10 of the NFL draft, when you can really draft a game changer. I don't think a tight end is going to be a game changer unless he's maybe like Rob Gronkowski, okay? And you play in a scheme that centers on the tight end. But you look at the names that were taken after Hockenson, and I just sit here and scratch my head. In my opinion, the Lions totally blew this. Totally blew this. And it's going to be yet another draft pick that we look back and say, how could you? All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, I'll get thoughts from the current sports team. I'll also give you my top takeaways, broad takeaways, other than the Detroit Lions totally screwing up the 8th pick. We'll take a broader look at what happened last night in round 1 of the NFL draft. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. You know, I don't understand. I don't know how Lions fans do it, Connor. I don't know how you don't, you know, age, you know, 10 years, how you don't have gray hair, how you don't have high blood pressure, hypertension, some kind of medical issue when it comes to trying to be a diehard fan for this franchise. It makes no sense to me. This Lions organization is just, it's laughable, man. I'm looking at some tweets that came through that I retweeted when I went on my rant last night on Twitter. This comes from @PaulVWags. We will look back on this draft in 5 years and we'll be just like the year the Lions took Ebron. So many really good players left on the board. @BrianSC88. Well, historically, the Lions draft terribly. Why change the sauce now? @MyWay1915. Officially looking for a new NFL team to root for. The Lions have been a disappointment my whole life. Not wasting any more time on them. @MikeRothstein. Lions don't get it. Ed Oliver on the board. I bet they would have taken Hockenson even if Allen was there. I wouldn't be surprised there, Mike. That's pretty on point there. The Lions, this comes from @GGoodness56. Detroit Lions, only team I've ever seen that will physically force you to hate them. They seek it. They want your anger. a few more here. @B_RadG24. Only the Lions would sign a tight end and draft another with the eighth pick when there are an infinity of other holes. And I agree. That's the thing with me. I mean, Jesse James is supposed to be the guy, right? I mean, that's what you heard Quinn and Patricia say in the end of your press conference. We want to groom him to be the guy at that position. So with this, I mean, if you say that and you draft Hockenson, I guess we're going to see a lot of two tight end sets on that offense, Connor. We're going to see a lot of running. Fantasy football fans, draft Kerryon Johnson to your team because he'll be running a lot.
Well, did you see the other report with it, too, that because they got that tight end, they're not looking at receiver anymore because they're going to run three tight end sets?
My gosh.
Absolutely ridiculous. My gosh. And then the last year you draft a tight end, you hardly develop him, and then now you're taking another tight end who you are going to try to do the same thing you did with the previous tight end. You got three tight ends now.
Right. How stupid is this?
It's ridiculous.
I mean, my gosh, man. I don't get it. I don't get it. I'm wearing a blue hoodie right now. And it's not a Lions hoodie, but I'm embarrassed just to have one blue right now. what are your
Devin
thoughts?
Devin Bush still there.
Yeah,
if you wanted to go and rebuild the O-line, Jonah Williams was still there. Rashawn Gary, mm-hmm. Christian Wilkins. Dexter Lawrence, Brian Burns, all these other players that would have filled the need. Or if Hockenson was your guy, trade back. The next team that would have taken him was probably going to be Green Bay, maybe. Green Bay was considering it.
Yeah, they were considering
it. Trade back a couple spots. The Steelers traded into the top 10. Trade with the Steelers. Let the Steelers go get Devin Bush.
Right. Exactly. I'm with you, man.
It
makes no sense.
Or even like trade back with the Broncos. Like, do something. I mean,
another
at that
end,
position.
Man. Yep. Another. And I feel bad for TJ Hockenson because I listened to his interview and he seems like a good kid. And there's just so much negativity now surrounded around this pick. And he's going to be compared to Eric Ebron. I think he's going to be a better player than Eric Ebron. Heck, I mean, TJ Hockenson may have a good year. He may catch 60 catches and be a prime part of that offense. But, you know, I still would sit there and say, is that still worth? Is 60 catches worth the eighth round pick of the NFL draft?
It won't matter unless he goes on to be the next Jason Witten, the next Zach Ertz, the next Travis Kelce. Because we talked about this me and Jack talked about this last Friday show. Tight end is a luxury position.
It is
a position you go and get when you have most, if not all, of your other problems are solved. Look at the Rams. Look at the Saints. Two of the best offenses in football. Mm-hmm. Can you name me either of their tight ends right now?
Exactly.
No, you can't.
Preach on, man. You can't name it.
The tight ends that made a difference in the league last year for their teams, respectively, during playoffs, regular season, Travis Kelce, Rob Gronkowski, 2 out of 32.
Right.
Were a key component of their team's success.
Right.
Okay. Whether that be in postseason or regular season. So I don't understand the move at eight.
It makes no sense, man. It is head scratching. And you know, I'm looking at the Detroit News, the front page of the Detroit News' sports page today. I guess it's trying to breathe some positivity into this pick, and you know, the head title is the number 8 spot in the draft has productive history. So they're trying to be positive about this and bringing up guys like, you know, Roquan Smith in 2018, Christian McCaffrey in 2017, players who were drafted at number 8 and went on to be studs.
Yeah, but you know what those players were for those teams?
They weren't tight
the
ends.
Number one, number two need. They weren't,
and they weren't
the,
tight ends.
They weren't tight ends, and they weren't the need that was third or fourth on that team.
Yeah,
I don't understand it. But hey, at least they're not the Giants.
Oh boy, and that's a great segue.
Called it.
Great segue, Connor, into our next segment here before we hit our final break. Let's look at a broader look at what happened last night. It was, first off, I liked how the NFL did this. The broadcast setup that they had with ABC, ESPN, and also the NFL Network, it worked. And I checked out all three throughout the night. Really cool stuff. I was also very shocked to see on ABC, Robin Roberts, the great Robin Roberts. I'm a huge fan of hers. They had her a part of the broadcast as well last night. Tom Rinaldi. You had the College Game Day crew up there on, I believe they were on ESPN. Another crew was on ABC. It was really cool how they did it. You had the NFL Network guys like Rich Eisen and company. They were on the NFL Network hosting the draft. It was really cool. Great job. I love the setup, too. You know, they had, like, the players in, like, a green room while it was outdoors. They had the music was blaring, by the way. I think they had some troubles hearing each other because there was some music being played there. And, it, you know, they had to kind of lean over and hear each other from time to time. But it was pretty live. It looked pretty live. It was outside. A lot of fans there. Outdoors. Great setup. I love the setup. They did that right. The biggest winner last night for me, Washington. The Redskins, Connor. You know, and like I said this. Now, I did say this. I said that Dwayne Haskins would fall, and he fell. I had him going number 15 to the Washington Redskins, and that's exactly what happened. So, you know, Dwayne Haskins, he was sitting there. I don't know if you saw when the New York Giants, this is going viral now, when the New York Giants went with Daniel Jones. There's a video.
He was laughing.
Of Dwayne Haskins. But did you see exactly what happened, though? Dwayne is sitting there on his phone, listening to it, and he says, as Roger Goodell was saying with the blah, blah, blah pick in the NFL draft, the New York Giants select, Dwayne Haskins says, Daniel Jones. And then Roger Goodell says, Daniel Jones. And then he just looked at his phone, and he does like a smirk, like, yep, okay, cool. It's what it is. Did you see that? He said Daniel Jones right before Roger Goodell said it.
Oh, yeah,
so
no.
He knew.
Oh, no, because the rumors had leaked out weeks ago that the right. Giants were, oh, no Dwayne Haskins. We're going to go with Daniel Jones.
Stupid move.
I mean, what?
I can't put in perspective just how stupid that was as well. It makes – now, rumor has it is that Peyton Manning gave the Giants a call and said that, look, I like this kid Jones a lot.
Well did you see the stuff with Gettleman afterwards? Like, well, this guy is going to – he could sit for 3 years.
Yeah,
they're going to put the corpse of Eli Manning on the field for 3 years before Daniel Jones even looks at the football field.
Yeah,
Daniel Jones is like Ryan Tannehill minus the one thing that made Ryan Tannehill at least decent half the time. He can't move.
He throws the football at a 54% clip. Accuracy clip.
He lost his last home game to Wake Forest, not by a little bit, 59-7. There was a stat that he was, I'll look it up, I think his yards per attempt is like 45 out of 55 quarterbacks taken since 2000.
Yeah.
I'll double check that. But
double check on that.
That's horrible.
It's not great. Daniel Jones was going to be taken. I was shocked that he was taken with the, you know, that high with the Giants. I just don't understand that pick either. So Washington gets a steal in Dwayne Haskins, if you ask me. And then they somehow, some way, lucked up and also got Montez Sweat, who fell down the draft boards, I believe, because of that reported heart condition. I don't think it's that serious. The doctors have already cleared him. I think the Redskins got a steal there. Also, the Steelers' defense hasn't been the same since that injury to Ryan Shazier. And I think now they may have found that answer in speedy linebacker Devin Bush. The Steelers traded up to grab Devin Bush. I actually like that pick. I like that pick a lot, actually. Despite Devin Bush, you know, Devin Bush's outfit that he had on last night, it looked like, you know, I tweeted this out, Connor. It looked like, you know, when you wait like last minute, I've done this many, many years. You wait last minute to try and find a Halloween costume. So you just go through your closet and you're like, man, I got to wear something. Man, I don't want to be the guy who doesn't have a costume on. And you just make up something. I have made up costumes before. That's what that looked like last night. It had like a, you know, the pants were like, you know, I don't even know what they were. It looked like pajama pants. They were white and black. I don't know what that was, what that getup was. You know, kind of looked like the MC Hammer pants, if you ask me. A cheap rendition of Bobby Brown.
Like, it looked like an ice cream sandwich.
Yeah, right. I could see that as well. An Oreo or something. I don't know. That just was not fly. Skip Bayless loved it. I don't know if you saw Skip Bayless' tweet. Best dress goes to Devin Bush.
Of course, Skip Bayless loved it. That should be your indication that was not a good look.
Oh, it's not a good look. But I do like what the Steelers did there. The Jets landing what many people believe to be quite possibly the top player in the draft. They were able to snag Alabama's Quinnen Williams with the third overall pick. They got, again, what many see as the best player in the draft. I think for me, when looking at the overall draft, I love Josh Allen. I'm a Josh Allen guy. I think he's just absolutely fantastic. But Quinnen Williams is a really good player. That was a good get for the New York Jets. There was some drama concerning this whole Kyler Murray pick. And not from the standpoint of that they chose Kyler Murray. We knew that was going to happen. But rumor has it is that like the Cardinals were looking to trade Josh Rosen last night, you know, trying to ship him around to get some things done. I don't know how the validity of that, but I heard a lot of people talking about that today, Connor.
Oh, no, they were trying to well, as soon as they picked Murray, they then talked to the Giants. The Giants wanted. The Giants said no. They then went and they talked to the Bengals about it. The Bengals said no. The most recent report is that they're trying to send him to Miami, but Miami's not going to move any of their early round selections. So right now, the rumor that I heard from Ian Rappaport said on the draft show was that the best deal they have right now for him is a third. So if they do move him, it's not going to be until the third round. And even then, it might not be a guaranteed move because...
Right.
Do they really want to give him that for the value? But then earlier this morning, Rosen unfollowed the Cardinals on
Twitter.
This
looks sloppy.
It looks sloppy. A mess.
You know, to a professional, you know, football team like the Arizona Cardinals, or any football team for that matter, you can't look this sloppy the week of the draft, after the first round. I mean, this looks a bit uncomfortable. It really does.
And, you know, it looks like a backfire of all the weeks leading up. It was like, oh, no, Josh Rosen's our guy. We don't know what we're doing with the first round pick. They knew exactly what they were doing with the first round pick. They were just trying to play it off for whatever reason. And now it's biting him in the backside.
Exactly.
It doesn't make any sense. Early in the draft, if they would have just kind of told teams in quiet, oh, yeah, we're going for Kyler, so we're trying to get rid of this quarterback, someone would have taken it.
Right.
But
somebody
you can't do that on draft night when everyone's boards are shaping up.
Well, that's what shocked me, that the fact that this happened on draft night. So, yeah, the Cardinals look, even though they get their guy in Kyler Murray, that was the right pick, you look incredibly dysfunctional with the way you're handling Josh Rosen. Also, I was, you know, I touched on Rashawn Gary and him going to the Green Bay Packers, but I was surprised the Packers did not get Aaron Rodgers any help. That's, I'm sure, going to change as the NFL draft continues. But I thought they were going to go offense with that pick. And also, surprising that Juwan Taylor wasn't a first rounder. The tackle out of Florida, he was supposed to be a top 10 pick. He wasn't selected in the first round. Not sure why. Maybe because of a bum knee. But otherwise, there didn't seem to be a reason why he wasn't drafted yet. So that should change very early tonight, I believe. And last but not least, the New York Giants. Those first two picks, just yikes. Just, I mean, what? You know, Daniel Jones, he does not excite anyone. He was poor against pressure and trying to make adjustments. He does not have a great deep ball. I mentioned, you know, the 54% clip. So when was the last time we saw a quarterback that was just okay drafted this high and turned out to be an NFL game changer? I'll answer that question. Never. The Giants totally whiffed on this. They could have drafted, you know, Sam Darnold last season and maybe a pass rusher this season. That would have been better. So there you have that. and then, you know, their trade back into the first round for DeAndre Baker. I like that. I like that, but my goodness, anybody's going to talk about is this whole Daniel Jones whiff. So those are a few of my broad takeaways. Real quick, Connor, any broad takeaways? Look at the first round, a few that you want to hit on before we get to Johnny.
Why did John Gruden take Farrell that high?
Right.
Why? He was going to be there at 20.
I know.
No one was going to take him that high. And all the pass rushers are on the board, and you decide that's your guy?
Yep. I know.
Or not trade back or anything like that. I don't understand it.
I thought they were going to go with Josh Allen.
I thought they were going to go with Josh Allen, too. Or if they weren't going to go with Josh Allen, they trade back to some desperate team that needed to get into the top four.
Exactly. I did not understand that either. And that, yeah, the Raiders are getting dragged through the mud today as well. As they deserve to be.
Josh Jacobs is an okay pick, but, like, I just don't really understand why you made that pick so early. You had the fourth overall pick. You could have traded that back and continued to build – to build whatever the heck Gruden's vision is for Oakland / well, a couple of years Vegas, which I don't think anyone knows what it is.
Right.
It looks like it's a mess.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, the NFL draft, it was compelling television last night. It was not absent of drama. Fun to watch. We'll see what happens throughout the weekend. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We invite the founder of Blessed Body Training, Johnny Lewis, to the show for another edition of Fit Fridays.
Just want to pop your
Royce, it's sweating time.
That was the pre-warmer to get you ready for the warmer, to get you ready for the pre-workout, followed by the workout, which precedes the post-workout. Then we're going into a little 60-minute warm down.
Okay, the first exercise I'm going to show you is what we call the bench press, a basic exercise that every beginner should do no matter what sport you're in.
But don't look for an easy way out. Nobody wants to work hard these days. Everybody wants the easy way, the 20-minute ab, the 10-minute this, 10-minute that. Earn it.
All right, you know what time it is. As we have less than 10 minutes left in the hour, we close out each and every Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports with a special fitness segment for you all. We've been doing this now for a few months, and it is certainly a hit. All right, it's time to welcome the founder of Blessed Body Training, MSU alum, Johnny Lewis, to the show for another edition of Fit Fridays. Johnny, how you doing, man?
I'm doing really good, Al. How are you?
Always good hearing from you, dude. Let's dive right into it. You want to first talk about, because again, you give us a tip that we can use in the workout room or just working out, period, and also one that we can use in the kitchen because they, of course, go hand in hand. You want to talk about spring and outdoor training, right?
Yeah. So today I want to, I know the weather has been pretty mild and decent out there in Michigan lately, right?
Yeah,
not too bad, not too cold.
Right.
The long winter is over, so I kind of want to encourage our listeners to get out and start running outside. I mean, running outside can is certainly better than running in a treadmill. More exciting, and it can be a really good stress reliever. So I want to talk about running, the benefits of running, and not only just running, but just walking and standing as well.
Definitely.
So, first of all, running is, I think, is one of the best workouts. A lot of us hate to do it, but the feeling that you get after you run is amazing.
It's like a runner's high, right? Is that runner's high that a lot of runners talk about, John?
Exactly. It's a runner's high. So, you feel amazing. Running is known to obviously good for your heart, for your cardiovascular. It's a full body workout. It's good for burning fat, reducing stress. And let's face it, when you run, you look better. And when you look better, you feel better.
So, I like that. Put that on a T-shirt, Johnny.
Right? we all know that. But at the same time, if you can't run, you know, you have to start somewhere. Walking is just as, well, I won't say just as good, but it's a great workout as well. So it's springtime. Let's get out, find some trails, find some parks, and just run, walk. And if you can't do either one of those, at least try to stand more. There's been research that standing actually is directly correlated to a longer life. So,
wow, I did not know that. How many years does that put on your life? I'm wondering, man. I need to start standing right now.
Much longer they might have stats on that, but I was I heard it on the radio a long time ago, and I did some research, and I think it's about the chromosome ends. The telomere ends on the chromosomes, they don't shorten as fast when you stand. So it's that's basically why. Mm-hmm. The science gets really deep, so I'm not going to go that deep into it. But there's a correlation with standing and living a longer life. So
awesome.
Just keep that in mind. I got an Apple Watch recently.
What? And, look at you balling, man. You done moved on up.
Oh, yeah. So it actually reminds me to stand periodically because I set that as one of my settings. So every day I get that standing. It's time to stand. So, so stand more. If you can't run and walk, if you can't walk, then stand. And if you can't do any of that, you know, do some form of exercise. You know, I'm always encouraging it.
Definitely. I love all those. Those are all fantastic tips. All right, and a tip that we can use in the kitchen. I believe you want to tackle eggs, right?
Yeah, so I kind of forgot that last week we weren't doing the show. So I wanted to do a special for Easter because, you know, Easter is highly associated with eggs. But we'll still do eggs. So I'm going to talk about the benefits. Eggs are very, very beneficial in terms of health. They're good for protein, tons of vitamins, including vitamin A, D, E, K, B, vitamins, you name it. A lot of people, especially vegan and vegetarian, vegan, criticize eggs because of the cholesterol. Mm-hmm. But I want to talk about the egg whites because the egg whites are low in cholesterol, low in fat. Oh, actually, I don't think it has any cholesterol or fat, and pretty high in protein. You have more than 60% of the protein in the egg whites. So if you want to go the cholesterol-free, fat-free version of the egg, just eat the egg whites.
And I've been eating egg whites now, Johnny, for about like 2 years, and I love them, dude. Love them.
Right, exactly. And it's very good. And then if you eat the whole egg, the yolk contains omega-3s and most of the vitamins. So I eat the whole egg, you know. But like I said, for the super healthy, low cholesterol people, you know, the egg whites is very, very beneficial to you as well. And today's secret food is the egg muffins. I love egg muffins. I haven't made them in a little while, but they're delicious.
Egg muffin, that sounds really good.
Yeah, they're really good. So basically, it's like you get a muffin pan and you mix up the eggs. Throw whatever you want in there. I like to put like bell peppers, red peppers, jalapeno, spinach, cheese. Mix it all up. And just throw it in the oven and you basically bake the eggs. And
voila.
They're delicious. Yeah, voila. There you have it. They're delicious, healthy, and very aesthetic for plate. So I encourage you to try that.
The egg muffin. I'm adding that to the weekend list of what I plan on dining with. All right. I love it, Johnny.
For sure.
Awesome stuff, man. The egg muffin, the benefits of the egg. And also, folks, stand more. All right. Wherever you are, if you're not in your car, if you're at home, stand up. All right. It adds years to your life. All right, Johnny. Appreciate it, man. Great job as always.
Thank you, Al. Stay blessed.
Always stay blessed, my friend. All right, to close out the show, I believe we have Ray from Indiana that wants to call in as we have about just 2 minutes left. Ray, what's up, man?
Hey, did you hear about Gary going to the Packers number 12 pick?
We did talk about that earlier on in the show.
Yeah, well, get this. He was bawling like a baby. And somebody was on the phone. You know who it was?
Wasn't that the Packers organization?
No, it was Jim Harbaugh begging him to come back. And he said, I'm tired of you bullies losing to Ohio State, Michigan State. I'm not coming back.
I knew the punchline was going to be something about Jim Harbaugh. I knew that was coming, right? I knew that was coming, man.
You know, once they're crybabies, they're always crybabies, aren't they? Once a bully gets punched in the mouth, they don't know what to do, do they?
That's a good way to end this this week of current sports. Thanks, Ray. Appreciate it, man.
All right. God bless you, buddy.
Ray has been teeing up that joke, I'm sure, since he saw Rashawn Gary on that phone weeping. All right. Funny stuff. Okay. A minute left in the show. A quick reflection Friday for me. All right. You got some homework, current sports fans. Somehow, some way, you know, if you don't have HBO, try and find somebody that does and get their password and username. But you got to check out the latest edition of HBO's Real Sports as they dove into the Detroit District and the problems that have ensued after the building of Little Caesars Arena, promises that have not been kept, because that is going to lead our show on Monday. I got a lot I need to address when it comes to that report, okay? But until then, enjoy the rest of the NFL draft. Have a fantastic weekend. Much thanks and love to the current sports team. We'll see you next week. And as always, be easy, people.